36, April 3rd, 2019, at the age of 83 years. She has suffered, but not complained. When I visited her, I asked, "How are you, Marco?" She said, "Fine," although she was hurt many times. When I read the scriptures, and especially the week before, she answered me properly, really properly. There has been a time in her life that she had hope in God, in Christ. It vanished, was attacked several times. But I asked her and I said, "Marco, how is it with your soul? Do you remember what happened in the past?" She said, "Yes, Pastor, yes, Domine, I remember." And her desire was that there should be preached a Savior for a lost sinner. A lost sinner. When I heard that she passed away, the Lord pressed upon my heart to speak out of Luke 16. And that beggar. And the beggar passed away. The beggar died. But let's first pray together. Lord, we are eternity creatures. Our body dies, but our soul is eternal. We have sinned, and by nature there is no hope. We don't want to hear it by nature, but that's truth. Though I said in paradise, because I was sinned, thou wilt surely die. And we see it again. And I will go. And we all will go. And meet thee at thy judgment seat. And meet thee at thy judgment seat. And unless we are righteous in thy Son, there's no hope. No hope. That if by grace we are covered with Him, best days are coming. No, not days anymore, but eternity. Immovable, bright as the sun of righteousness. And we pray, Lord, that it might happen to us. By grace alone. We met, and she has met thee, Lord. We met her here, Marco, who was caring for the most sick as a nurse, and by grace was cared for the last years of her life, blind and able to walk. But begging and begging in Bagi. Remembered the family and all those who are here. And please, please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Apply the word to our hearts, for thy grace is irresistible. And we might fight it, we lose the battle anyways. Now, that would be gracious, or the latter day, where no return is possible. Bless thy word, Lord, to us all. We thank thee also for what has been given by Marco to the hospitals where she served, to the family who she cared for. Thou art scared. Lord, have mercy upon us. I beg thee. Only for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to read Luke 16. Verse 19 through the end of the chapter. There was a certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. And was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and between you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abram, but if thou went, if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it, though one rose from the dead. My dear travelers with me to eternity, we are all traveling to eternity. There is no way back. It's always in one direction, to the judgment seat of Christ. We all are traveling the same route, the same ways. Although it might be a little different where we are born, how we are educated, outside of the gospel or with the gospel, outside of law and gospel or with the law and gospel, we are all traveling to eternity. Some people say we die. We don't die. We have an everlasting soul which will never die. An everlasting soul, the Bible teaches clearly that God's people lay aside the body, but the soul is entering to eternity, to God, to give an account. And my dear friends, my dear co-travelers to eternity, we're all traveling. And I say it again, there is no way backwards. You can't do it again. What has passed has passed. You can start again. What has done has been done. Some people say I would do it different, and I'm saying you won't do it different. Marco traveled. It was her desire to be a nurse. I will say some words of it. She studied and even went back to the Netherlands, to Ermelo, where she got her diploma to be a nurse. Wrote the examinations again and was accepted as a nurse in Canada. And what I heard is she liked to be caring for the most serious sick people. I believe it was her calling. But when I thought about her life this day, I thought, see what the Lord has done to her. There was a family, and they don't want to be named even. Your family, caring for her. Not out of duty, but out of care. So you can see, even in this life, God will return what has done. He cares for those who care. But she has come to the end of her life on earth. We all will come to the end of our life on earth. We struggled many times asking the Lord, where is Marjo? What is about her soul to be said? And we struggled. But when I heard the message that Marjo passed away, the Lord suddenly called to my soul and said, the beggar died. The beggar passed away. A beggar. I've heard of begging. You have heard it. Singing psalms. Begging psalms. She begged. The congregation, this parable is not only a parable, it's also speaking about what really goes to happen with you and us. With us all. It's more than a parable. It's a parable. And the Bible teaches there are only two ways, not three. The rich man, thinking he goes to heaven, went to hell. And the poor beggar, who was afraid going to hell, went to heaven. The rich man had no name. For the Lord knows his people and he knows them by name. And the beggar had a name. What was his name? Lazarus. And Lazarus means, congregation, God is my help. God is my help for time and eternity. The Lord Jesus says that's his name. The name of a true Christian laying in the bosom of Abram has a name. Lazarus, God is my help. Azariah means the same. God is my help. And if God is your help, he is not only your help for time, for this life. He is a helper for time and eternity. I have a question about a beggar. Has a beggar any right to be helped? If you would pass by a beggar and don't give a dime or dollar, can he object? Can he say it's your duty to help me? A child of God, my dear children and friends, traveling with me to eternity, has no right, lost all rights. Is a sinner, depraved. No good works. His whole body was covered with sores. He was sick. Very sick. Leper. But do you know, a leper, when he is wholly covered with sores, is clean. When you're wholly covered with sores, having no good anymore, God makes you clean, calls you to be clean. In whom? In him. Who took the sores. The leprosy of his people. Full of sores. He had some friends. Mostly alone. God's people is mostly alone. Abandoned. They don't like you to be in their feasts. You spoil it. The rich man was always happy and he had an outward performance. He had the robe of a priest and the robe of a king. He had an outward performance, but his heart was afar off. God in Christ. He had an outward performance. Nice and neat. Fit. He never was convicted. Every day was joyful. Feasts. He had his good in his life. And he was covered with self-made righteousness. Clothes of a king and a priest. If you would say to me, he is going to heaven, everyone would believe so, because they were only looking to the outward side, but not to the inward side. He was a man loving sin and loving the world. That was his pleasure. That was his joy. Living every day without sorrow, without repentance, without faith. being a child of God by birth, a Pharisee, outward righteousness, but never being made a beggar. Luther said, if God starts to work in your soul, you are to be and will be a beggar at the throne of grace, day and night, until God answers you. But never being a beggar. Never being without rights. Never being without thinking that he was a child of God. What a moment when he passed away and his eyes were opened in hell, the flame of everlasting fire. But if you're a Christian, and you know what it is to be answered to heaven, a name above all name, that's his name. And when your name is called by that same Savior, he is Lazarus, my God is my helper. God in Christ is my helper. I always question if it looks like, if you would see where he ends up at the dunghill. A Christian on the dunghill, a Christian on the dunghill. Would you think God is his helper if you look like his everyday life? When he sits on the dunghill and he has only friends who are dogs, unclean animals, licking his sores? Is that a Christian? That's a Christian. No, I don't want to be a Christian, right? Really, you don't want to be a Christian, right? You don't want to be such a Christian. You want a Christian to be clothed with ropes of self-righteousness, to be adorned with your own works. But oh, congregation, what a disappointment. We have never been a beggar answered by God in Christ. Made rich outside of yourself. Outside of yourself. Faith is a gift for a condemned sinner. And it rests outside of yourself. And surely that beggar had a desire for worldly lust. Don't tell me that the Christian has no desire for worldly lust. They have. Their world in sight, and therefore he begs. For he wanted to have some crumbs of that rich man's table. He probably not outwardly, but inwardly was the same as the man, the rich man at that table. He says, I don't need to fool me, you give me some crumbs of the rich man's table. He had the same desires in the world, but God protected him. He couldn't enter into that feast meal. Wasn't allowed to come. They didn't like him there. He was stinking, unclean. He would spoil the joy of the world. That's what happens to the children of God. They are set apart on the dunghill of the world. For they spoil the pleasures of so-called religious people. No, we don't invite him. We don't need that man. If you look to his face, he's always condemning. That stinky sinner, you think we should look to him? Not invited, eh? Not invited, no. That's gracious from God. He makes the antithesis, the hatred between God's people, the seed of the woman, in the seed of Satan, antithesis, struggle, warfare, fight. The last hour has come for Lazarus. Even in the Bible, doesn't say that he had a funeral. yet even not a funeral. But the Lord Jesus sent his angels to take his soul in the bosom of Abram, the father of believers, near the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Home are ye, O ye beggar, ye unworthy sinner, friend of dogs, of the worldly people of the world. Come, come. In the house of my Father are many mansions. I prepared one for you. I prepared one for you." Yeah. The rich man passed away too. Opened his eyes in hell. Gnawing in the stone. Into the eternal wrath of God. It's a fire eternal. And he saw Abram. But there was a big gulf. He thought, "I ruled that beggar, and now I'm ruling him again. Send him that he take a bit of water, cool my tongue." Why his tongue? He has sinned with his tongue, condemned that beggar. And now his tongue was burning. Can't be done now. Son, you hear? Son, evil son, part of the covenant outwardly, but not inwardly, being baptized or circumcised, being a part of a congregation somewhere in the world. I can't. He says, "You got the good things in your life, what you thought is good, but now he has the good things." His desire to be with the Lord and praise him eternally in Christ Jesus. That's how it is. Yeah, send him home then. I have five brothers. They need to be repent. They need to repent. What's repent? Repent is not changing your life, is sorrowing about your sins in need of a Savior. That's sorrowing. Repentance and faith belong together. When you see a broken heart and a contrite spirit, crying for mercy. Have you had it? I believe so. God is breaking the hearts of his children. Bending them by the law, but breaking them by the gospel. They have sinned against God in Christ. Has there been a time in your life that you couldn't be converted anymore? That you were crying and melting down? Not worthy to be a child of God. Close the door yourself. There are always people, they have kind of hope. But if God starts to work in your soul, you lose your hope. And otherwise you have no grace. Isaiah 57. You have the life in your own hand, but you don't say it's outside of hope. Therefore your soul is not saved. If God saves your soul, it's turning in a single moment. You have closed the door, and he says, "I am the door." You can say to me, "Pastor, stop preaching like it." I'm not. We once will meet again before the judgment seat of Christ. And if I don't warn you, this same moment, I better stand not on this pulpit. But I tell you, for the worst of sinners is a Savior. For those who have sinned them out of the communion with God, there is a Christ crucified. Taking the sins of his people, setting them free. Do you know what's faith? Do you know what's faith? that's changing. He takes my spot, my hell, that I might have his spot in his heaven. In him is all time and eternity. We can speak about Marho, but we better speak about him who lives and gives life, has given his life and has given life to dead and repenting sinners. What a moment if that turns in your life. I tell you this, my dear friend, it turns in the twinkling of an eye. From hell to heaven, from sin to paradise. And when it happens in your life, you're standing newly in paradise, as if you had never sinned nor done any evil. Free, free, free. Pastor, is it sure? I'm sure it's sure. I know it's sure. For with one sacrifice he has made perfect those who are in Christ Jesus alone and holy. What a day for Lazarus to be with the Lord Jesus. What a day for the beggars of the kingdom of heaven to be with the Lord. By my suffering of sin, by my loneliness in the world, will be ended. And I will go through the gates of righteousness into eternal glory. When the beggar died, he was no beggar anymore. He got the full salvation, the full glory. His beggar's life ended. And he saw the beauty of his Savior. To be in him with God, glorifying. His beggar's mouth was now praising from eternity to eternity that God in Christ. But you say to me, Pastor, what do we have to do with it? Well, you have the law and the gospel, the law and the prophets. We can speak about Marco, we can speak about a beggar. But the Lord said to that rich man, he said they should repent. And do you know what they said, what the Lord said? They have the law and the gospel. Why do you say the gospel? Well, the prophets. The prophets are speaking about the Lord Jesus to come as the only Savior and righteousness for his people. He says you have the law and the gospel that are the instruments. Not only the gospel. Not only the law. That's half preaching. Law to condemn. The gospel to set free in Christ Jesus. Both. But Pastor, I can't work with the law and gospel. No, the Lord said to him that you hear them. You hear them. Obey them. If God speaks to you, you have to obey the law. And I tell you, I'm short. I'm now short. I will be short. But then you have to obey the law perfectly. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not half. Not a little bit. And not only by your deeds, but with your heart. For God looks to your heart. And in your heart is all evil. but you have to be perfect before God. That's what the law requires. We always want to diminish it. Oh, I'm a sinner, I can't help it. Lie. God made you perfect and He wants His righteousness back. And He will get it back. He got it back. By whom? By the new creature who prepared the body of the Savior. He says, who shows me sin? And I'm not a sinner. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're perfect. He is what you are not. He has done what you can do. And He paid with His dear precious blood all the guilt of His people. But Pastor, now I have a question and then I stop. Yeah, not everyone experiences this. I agree, not everyone. But not everyone is going to heaven too, that's true. You might have so-called influx or convictions, but never come to the knowledge of Christ. That's you are born again, you say, but you have only born wind. Yeah, but if I need my sins to know, and if I know my sins, that's good enough. No, if you know your sins, where are you going then? Be honest. Don't be deluded. When you knew your sins, where were you going then? Deserving hell. But if Christ is revealed to your soul out of the hands of the judge, He shows you His righteousness. He says, and in the house of my Father are many mansions. I'll come and get you to be with me everlastingly. You have the law and the prophets, but you need the work of the Holy Ghost to apply it to your soul. Otherwise, you say, heart's not too bad, and you don't need to know Christ in hearts. Talk. But one thing you have to know, me too. I must meet my judge. And unless I'm covered with the white robe of His righteousness, of Christ Himself, there's no hope. Are you hopeless sinners? Are you sinners who say, I deserve hell? Are you sinners to die? Then I have the privilege to preach unto you that one name that's given above all names, Jesus, the help of His people, unworthy people. Oh, what a precious name when you get to know Him. When I heard the message that Marco passed away, the Lord pressed upon my heart, and the beggar died. She died to beg. Yeah, but you are not the judge. No, I am not the judge. And I'm not judging. God judges. But this is what I had to preach to you and me. For rotten sinners on the dunghill of their self-righteousness is hope. Outside of yourself, in Him, who is yesterday, today, and forever the same. We go to the cemetery and we follow her, and we are following her. Not only now, but we are following her. We are following her. And my dear friends, you're all getting old, isn't it? How is your state for eternity? But dear friend, it's nothing in you that can please God. It's only in Him who pressed the winepress all by Himself. To Him be the honor and glory. And the beggars are no beggars anymore. Having what they desired for grace sake alone. How will it be for you and me in eternity? In eternity. You can do it again. It has to happen here. May God bless His word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, the rat's bagging, shameful, dishonored by man, full of sores as the signs of sin, and full of sores yet clean. Some friends, heathen dogs, licking me. But lonely on earth, and yet not alone. Having a name, Lazarus. God is my help. Lord, remember the family, they're all getting old, and I see here young people, family members. Probably in the past being in church, today no more. Enjoying so-called happiness in the world, but it always deceives you. You might think for a little bit that's nice, but it's bitter at the end. Please, Lord, draw us in today. In us there is no desire nor willingness. We're totally depraved. We have one desire, to seek our own lusts and desires. But give them repentance to believe. Remember us when we go to the cemetery, and remember the family and an older sister who was instrumental to go to Canada. They'll be buried. Till the day when thou wilt be revealed from heaven, and it might be soon. Looks like the world is turning to die, to death. The morals are immoral. God's people are fewer. And the old are not replaced by the young. But have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Thou knowest thy own, and they will be converted and believing in thy dear Son. Have mercy upon us. We thank thee for all the blessings bestowed upon us, also by Marco. When she sang her songs, the psalters. When she heard the sermons and answered them. When she begged. And didn't complain about the sores of which it was full, but needed thee. Have mercy upon us, thee Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I forgot. The family want to sing, and we will sing. And I want to sing too, so it's not only the family. But we'll sing Psalter 187, 1 and 2. 187, 1 and 2. I think that's a desire and has been the desire of Marhoto to sing, and we sing 187, 1 and 2.